Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, October 20th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, gold managed up to be $8 today at $1,247. There was a little bit of pressure in early morning trade, and certainly popped around up $8. Silver up 18 at 1755, along with palladium up 13 at 1271, and palladium up 8 at 765. So all the white metals were up a little over 1%, and of course, gold was just about 1%. USDX today broke 85, down 24. Down 0.24 at 84.95. Crude oil was up a few cents today, a few points, 0.16 at 82.91. And the paper markets today, they tried. The Dow was down 32 points. Well, hold on a second. You know, at this point in time, they shouldn't be reversing any numbers. But magically, that went from down 32 to positive 19. So how does that work? The market should have been closed 3 minutes ago. So I think it's those little plunge protection team guys in there putting in those last enter trades to see where it's headed. But now we're showing up 19. And let me just check some other... Yeah. Now it's showing down 32. So not sure what happened there, folks. Somewhere between down 32 and up 19. At 16,347, the NASDAQ was up 57 at 43.16. The S&P was up 17 at 19.04. 10-year yield down 0.03 at 2.17. And, of course, the downside to the Dow was all based on IBM's poor earnings. They were released early this morning, and the Dow was down a triple digits. And futures for most of the morning, it came back up and down, and it stands where it stands at this point in time. So,
which is where?
Now I'm showing down 32.
The twilight zone.
The twilight zone.
I think we have. I think the economic czar for the country is Rod Serling.
Yeah,
that's where we get our numbers, and that's where the truth of the matter lies, out there in the twilight zone.
Heck, he was probably more accurate with his programs than what the Dow is. But so anyway, That was one of my favorite programs, The Twilight Zone.
That was back in the old days, though.
I still watch them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sometimes they have marathons. Yes, they were good. I have an interesting article here, Al.
All right. That's the kind we like, interesting.
This is interesting because, you know, everybody thinks, you know, China has no problems. And I found this interesting that there was a Garmin factory. Now, this is in Italy, outside of Florence. And this goes back to December 1st of last year. And this Garmin factory outside of Florence burned. There were several people who died. I think 7 people had died. What are you laughing at?
I was just wondering if we were going to get a dose of Chinese lightning instead of Jewish lightning.
Well, let me finish this, please. And 7 people died in this factory, and it was largely a Chinese manufacturing district in Tuscany. Now, Chinese manufacturing district in Tuscany, it just doesn't seem to go together. Tuscany is beautiful, and you just don't see. And I wonder how many Chinese manufacturing firms are here in the States. What's interesting, though, is that because of the desire for cheap clothes and greater profits, the Chinese were immigrating to Italy, and they opened up these Chinese factories. And you have these migrants, these Chinese migrants that have been smuggled to Italy, and they find work at these factories. And there's billions of euros that then is being smuggled back to China. The savings on tax and labor have given businesses a break, and of course the competitive edge. And the Justice Minister...
You mean they're paying the Chinese immigrants Chinese wages rather than Italian wages?
Yes. Yes. Mm. So in a sign of the growing global impact of China's crime, they signed an agreement between China and Italy. But here's where it gets interesting. They call it Chinese organized crime. More than 40,000 Chinese live in Prato. That's Italy. Some 15,000 illegally. The area has one of the highest concentrations of Chinese in Europe. Many migrants started their own businesses and created a kind of outsourcing in which merchandise wasn't exported. China itself was. And they turn out this cheap, fast fashion garments. And everybody likes the cachet of made in Italy.
Yet
the clothes are being made by Chinese workers in Chinese factories.
In a Chinese district.
In a Chinese district, only in Italy. You know, they have grown up. And I just found that interesting.
No, it's more than interesting. It's more evidence of what happens when we have global free trade. The idea of one world government, new world order. The idea that we're all going to sing kumbaya and we're just going to move people around any way they want to go. The result will be the loss of virtually any prosperous country in the world. As if you're going to let every illegal immigrant come into your country anytime they want, if you manage to put a culture together with a system of values that's capable of generating a level of prosperity, a good standard of living, you can bet that it's going to attract every poor person on the face of the globe. And they will ultimately swarm into your country like locusts, and they will consume everything that's there while they're looking for some kind of a job. And when it's all gone and your country is completely looted and destroyed, they'll look, where's another country that's making money? And all of the poor people of the world will flock into that country and destroy it. And then they'll go to the next one and the next one. And the point is, the poor will always be with you, particularly if you don't maintain your own borders. And if you've got anything worth having, they will come into your country en masse. If you're going to maintain your standard of living, if you've got a decent standard of living, if you're above average, and especially if you're toward the top of the list of standards of living, you're going to attract those illegal aliens, and they are going to destroy your country unless you find the brains and the nerve to stand up and say, no, we're going to take care of our country, and you work on yours. If your country is corrupt or incompetent or whatever, then do what you got to do to change your country. Don't come here. And if you don't adopt that attitude, if you're not willing to defend your country, your system of values, you're going to lose your prosperity. If that's what you want, do it. If you don't want to do it, then you have to stop it. You have to draw a line, and these lines are called borders. The New World Order doesn't want these borders. They want one world government. That means no borders, no nations. Headed for trouble. I'm like, this is a terrible situation, and the story you're talking about is simply evidence.
And, you know, I think, oh, well, we have unions here. That would never happen. No. The authorities raided over 1,900 Chinese factories in the past 6.5 years, closing 900. I'm assuming it's still in Italy because... Yeah, this whole article is about Italy. Yeah. And what they do is they don't fix any of these problems. They just shut down and reopen under a new name.
Yeah.
And so you had these workers who lost their life. They work, this person said she worked 13 to 17 hours a day for 2 to 3 euros an hour. That's a buck and a quarter to a buck and a half to $1.75 in U.S. dollars. And that's a fraction of Italy's legal minimum wage. And they were in there in Italy illegally, and they worked till 2 a.m. and so forth. And
so how did they get in there, Melody? And I'll guarantee you the
governments close a blind eye. This article also says...
Why a blind eye?
What?
Why a blind eye? Why did the government of Italy turn a blind eye to this Chinese district and or these Chinese...
Money.
Yep, it means that people in government are being paid off by Chinese. They're buying them. Just like people in our Congress get paid off by American corporations and multinational corporations. We have politicians who are for sale around the world. And as a result, if you got the money, they got the time. They'll pass laws that will allow you to break laws.
Well, this also answers the question because, during our crisis, you wonder, China thrived. And this is one way they were able to thrive right through the global financial crisis because they were out there maximizing the profits and,
not only maximizing the profits, we've talked about this on this program in the past, but it's still an idea that very few people understand. There's a multiplier effect that's recognized by economists. And if they have a convention for the National Firemen's Association and it's held in Dallas, Texas, and each fireman comes in from Chicago and San Francisco and New York, each one that comes to Dallas and spends $1,000, the Dallas economy gets an economic boost equivalent to $3,000 to $7,000 by bringing an extra thousand in, and this is they get $3,000 to $7,000 boost in economic activity, and this is why cities will fight among themselves to attract tourists and conventions and the rest of that. The same principle applies to corporations located in foreign countries. We colonize foreign countries by establishing corporations there. They take the profit out of those corporations that are built in foreign countries and ship it back to the home country for the corporation. And the home country gets a multiplied effect. Right? The same thing is true if the Chinese are establishing corporations in Italy or the United States. The profits get pulled out of the United States, pulled out of Italy, and they go back to China. There is a multiplied effect, but it has to be a zero-sum equation, meaning that if we bring $1,000 into Dallas and we get a $3,000 to $7,000 economic effect, and this is from the firemen coming here from Chicago, it has to be true that when they pull $1,000 out of Chicago, to come down here to Dallas, Chicago suffers a $3,000 to $7,000 loss in economic activity. It can't be any other way, or else we found a money tree where we can just magnify and magnify and magnify our money. It follows that when you build a corporation in Italy or in the United States that takes its profits and relocates those profits to some foreign country instead of spending them locally, all right, a multinational corporation rather than a national corporation, they spend those profits in a foreign country, they send $1,000 out. Doesn't sound like much, but the loss at the local level is $3,000 to $7,000. If they're going to keep these foreign corporations coming into this country, we will be colonized. We will be reduced to the status of something like a bunch of serfs. And it's bad business. This is one of the reasons why you want to buy American. It's one of the reasons why you want to buy local. You stimulate your local economy if you keep the profits there in your local community. It's one of the reasons why Walmart, in my opinion, is detrimental to local communities. It seems like a great deal. Go in there and buy cheap stuff at Walmart. But what happens to the profits? Those profits are taken out of your local community. They go to the Walmart headquarters. The Walmart headquarters tends to thrive. The local communities suffer an invisible but multiplied loss of 3 to 5 times, 3 to 7 times, whatever was taken out of the economy. So this whole business is dangerous, and all this multinational and globalist and the rest of that sort of thing. It's going to kill people. It's going to destroy economies and nations and standards of living and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's already destroyed standards of living. And, you know, today the World Trade Organization, WTO, they rejected U.S. labels in identifying country of origin for steaks, ribs, and other meats. And, there was a...
What do you mean they rejected the labels? Do you mean that they won't let people advertise that their food is grown in the United States?
The U.S.
Or do they mean they're rejecting the product coming from the
United States? They rejected the U.S. rules requiring labels on packages, the steaks, ribs, and other cuts of meat, identifying where the animals were born, raised, and slaughtered. Mm-hmm. They said that the requirements would put Canadian and Mexican livestock at an unfair advantage.
Well, we can't have that.
Can't have that. 2012.
No. It's our obligation to let anybody flood this country with anything they can make a buck on.
Yep.
We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to protect our own industries. We have an obligation. Let's sing a little kumbaya. Na-na-na, kumbaya. Come on, come on. We're all in this together. The hell we are.
Yeah.
If you want to be in this together with everybody in the world, you are going to wind up with a standard of living that's virtually identical to the majority of the people in this world, and it will be a third world standard of living because that's where the most people are.
Yep, so this, it was said it violated trade rules.
Oh, and, well, can't have that.
No, it said it would require forced and reforced meat packers to segregate and keep detailed records. Oh, you don't want to keep those detailed records.
No, we don't want to.
On imported livestock, giving them an incentive to.
And one of the things about it, Melody, now we can sit back and say, oh, this is the foreigners trying to take advantage of our markets. But I'll make you a bet that within the United States, if they change the law and Mexico doesn't have to keep detailed records and Canada doesn't have to keep detailed records, who else isn't going to keep detailed records?
Yep.
I'll bet it'll be the people here in the United States that are raising cattle. And the result will be you're going to get a piece of beef and you're not going to understand. You're not going to have much of an opportunity to understand where it was raised, what kind of chemicals it was fed, on trade rather than the welfare of the people. It's the welfare of the corporations that's being stressed and promoted, and the welfare of the people is being abandoned and neglected. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I got a different type of a special. Everyone always loves the Buffalo Gold coin, the modern issue gold Buffalo coin. And rarely do I ever suggest that anyone purchase them in a mint state condition when you're just buying regular gold coins. But this coin is a little unique. It's a 2006. It was the first year that the gold Buffalo was produced by the U.S. Mint. And these are 2006 proof gold Buffalo coins. It's the first year of issue. And they're certified by PCGS, proof 70. And they also have the James Earl Fraser signature, facsimile signature label. There's only 61 coins that have been certified.
61 coins.
61 coins that have been certified proof with his thing. And we do have a
few. With his signature.
With his signature. It's a facsimile signature label. And the design has become one of the most beloved in all numismatics. And of course, we saw that design first seen on the 5-cent coin, the Indian head and the buffalo. So we got a few of them in, and we're going to include also a tube, which is 20 of the Morgan pre 1921 silver dollars. So you get something a little new and a little old, and your total cost is $2,160. It's $2,160.
One Buffalo coin.
One Buffalo coin.
Plus a tube of 20 Morgan silver dollars.
That is correct. For $2,160. And this coin really is only about $150. Well, let me see what it would be. About $250 over what a bullion coin would go for. So it's priced great. It's only a little bit over wholesale that I'm selling these for. So they need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And there was only a few of them available. And this is a very low population of only 61 coins. So
that's hard to believe. 61 coins.
That they actually
the collectible. This makes this a kind of collectible. I mean, that's almost unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. So, give us a call 1-800-375-4188, and we have a limited amount of this coin also. So, we will sell them until they're gone. Here's something else we were talking about, Al. You know, the decline of our standard of living. Mm-hmm. And we were talking during the break about what are we going to see in this country in 2025. And here we are in 2014. And you think, oh, 2025, that's so far away. It seems so far away. It's only 10 years, Al. I can't even imagine what this country is going to look like in 10 years.
I can't either. And I can't.
Only 10 years.
I'm imagining that it'll be better than what it is now. I have a hard time imagining that it will even be as good. And I can tell you, given my age and whatever, I understand. I remember when this country was extraordinary. And right now, come on. There's nothing extraordinary going on in this country that I'm able to see. Except
we might be extraordinary to lots of to other parts of the world still. However, look at what we've lost.
Not necessarily by fact.
Look at what we've lost.
Well, I understand.
And it continues to decline.
Yeah, it's not. We don't see an end to these losses right now.
No.
Part of the reason for that is who is there in Congress, in the White House, in the federal courts that's actually working to protect this country? It is taken for granted that the source of our strength has to be multinational corporations and global free trade. And God knows we couldn't just build something in Dallas and sell it in South Dakota or Maine or California. No, we've got to build it with the idea we're going to sell it in China or we're going to sell it in India or we're going to sell it in Africa. These are deadly assumptions and presumptions and premises. They're going to kill us, all right? If we have to compete in those foreign markets, we have to have labor that is comparable in price to foreign labor. And that means the American worker is going to see his wages go down and down and down while we're engaged in global free trade. Oh, this is great, global free trade. It's great for the multinational corporations. It's great for the corporate executives in the multinational corporations. It is terrible for the people who actually work as laborers for those multinational corporations. Melody, are you still there?
Yes, I am. And in the same lines, I was reading where a lot of the GOP governors in many of the states, you know, you hear about Congress shouting, repeal Obamacare. We're going to repeal Obamacare. Well, these governors are saying, you know, the law's not going to go away. So, again, I mean, it's like, it's just politics as usual. You know, they talk the talk, but no one walks the walk.
I don't even think it's politics as usual. This is a special kind of politics that borders on treason. There was a time when people would steal money as politicians. They'd take the money, but in the end, the money stayed in this country. Yeah. And the money was taken from elements in this country. But now, I think these politicians, to some significant degree, I won't say a majority, but some significant degree, it's not about this country anymore. They're willing to betray this country in a way that borders on treason. Not just greed, not just corruption, but treason. This nation is being destroyed by its own government. And it's the sort of thing that you say that and you sound like a radical nut and the rest of that, but you look and you watch and you pay attention, and it's an argument that I don't think can be refuted. Obama just shake his head and ignore what you have to say, and the Congress will ignore you, and the courts will ignore you, and so on. But in the end, it appears to be abundantly true. They won't even protect our borders. They won't even protect our borders against an invasion by illegal aliens. And then we've got some jackass in the White House who doesn't see a problem with trying to accommodate people who are criminals.
Or sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, bring your disease, bring your, oh, yeah, I understand. And bring your tired, your poor, your hungry masses yearning to be free. It didn't say anything about send us all your sick, send us all your criminals and gangsters. Right?
Oh,
and that's
so
what we have right now. And why? Why do they do it? Well, the Republicans like it because it's cheap labor for corporations that support the Republican Party, and the Democrats like the illegal aliens because they are undocumented Democrats. They will vote to give the Democrat Party more power. And neither one, the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, gives a damn about the American people that are legally here. Neither one of those parties is protecting you, ladies and gentlemen. They are both jacking their jaw, but in the final analysis, it's all about how much money they can get from whoever it is who's willing to pay them. And they'll take the money from anyone. They will prostitute themselves. If the money's right to any corporation, any country, it doesn't matter. Show me the money, and they'll do whatever they have to do in order to get it.
Well, let me say this. The North Carolina, the Senate race, $100 million is being spent from Bloomberg donations, George Soros. It's making North Carolina's U.S. Senate race one of America's first 100 million contests. I mean... It's to top 103 million, according to public records, and with the interviews with the donors. Three quarters of it comes from party and interest groups. More than 22 million is so-called dark money from groups that don't disclose their donors. It's a stunning number, and it tells you two things. And this is from University of Virginia's political scientist, Larry Sabato. No kidding. It's completely out of control. And North Carolina is very important to the politics, to the Democrats. And, I mean, when you look at that type of money, $100 million, they should just shut that election down.
I understand.
They should just shut it down.
I understand that. I think one of the things I've argued for a long time, the heart of the problem we have with government goes to political campaign laws. And we should pass laws, in my opinion, political campaign contribution laws, where you can give as much as you want to any congressman or senator or president, your candidate you want to vote for, but everybody's got to, your name has to be disclosed, how much you've given. Whether your corporation, whatever entity it is, that has to be publicly disclosed. And beyond that, you can't give any money to any congressman, senator, or candidate that you can't vote for. In other words, we can't have any interests in New York that are supplying money for a candidate in Texas. You understand? Unless it was presidential, that would be the exception. President, vice president, they're national. They'd have to take money from any place in the country. But if you're running for the Senate from Texas, fine. You can take money from anyone registered to vote in Texas. No corporations, no unions, no artificial entities. You can only get your money from people who are already registered to vote in the district or the state where you are running for office. If you're running for the 107th Congressional District, office in the 107th, you can only take money from constituents within that district. And the result would be every politician would have to represent the people in his district rather than any corporation that could buy him. That would be one point. The second point is, what are the implications of an election where they're going to spend $100 million to see who wins? Nobody you know, no one is investing $100 million in an election because they believe in good government and they think one party or the other one is superior. They're putting in $100 million because they think they will get more out of that senator. Before this is done, he will pass laws to enrich the people who put up $100 million. And by the time they're done, they invest $100 million and they wind up generating perhaps $1 billion in profits, because they are betting that senator will pass laws that will enrich the entities that provided all of this money. No one pays that kind of money for a job being a senator, though I don't know what they pay senators in this country, but I'm to guess $175,000, $200,000. Nobody spends $100 million to get a job that pays $200,000. That's crazy. I guarantee you, whoever gets elected for $100 million or $50 million or whatever, that guy is for sale. All right? And he's going to do whatever he can for the people who gave him the money. Not the voters, not the constituents. He will go to the Senate with the idea of representing the people who put up all that money. Not the voters, but the contributors. And that's who's really, you know, this is, we've got a Supreme Court. They've declared that political campaign contributions are a form of free speech. And money is free speech. We don't even have money. We just have currency in this country. But nevertheless, they deem that to be free speech. What does that mean? It means if you don't have any money, nobody has to listen to you. If you have money, we hear you loud and clear. All right, you got a lot of money? Yeah, baby, if you're willing to spend that money. We're listening to the man who's got a bunch of money. We're passing votes. We are representing the people who have a lot of money. And it shouldn't come as any surprise we see income inequality growing in this country. The people who are making the most money in this country are the ones that are paying the biggest bribes to Congress. And if all the rest of you folks do is vote, you're not giving your congressman a substantial amount of money. They appreciate your vote, but in the final analysis, you aren't represented. Representation goes to the people who give your congressman, your senator, your president. They give them money. They pay attention to those people. Don't give them money. Buzz off.
Well, I want to give you an example of inflation here, Al. Back in 1984, the contest was between Republican Senator Jesse Helms and Democratic Governor Jim Hunt. And it's been for so long the state's most expensive election. At that time, it cost $26 million. But in today's terms, it is valued at $60 million. So a little bit of inflation there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Little loss of dollars.
We're doing $100 million right now, which means they're spending 40% more.
Yep.
Maybe better than that. 50%, whatever. But in any case, a big chunk more than they spent in the previously most expensive race in state history.
Yep.
This is not a good sign. This isn't something to celebrate. It isn't something to simply remark on and say, isn't that interesting? No, it's not interesting. It's evidence of massive corruption. It's evidence of congressmen, senators, and presidents that are for sale to the highest bidder, and it's evidence that bidders know these guys are for sale. And you can invest $100 million and maybe we get $500 million, $1 billion back. Huh? This is business. This isn't politics. This is business. As we say down here in the Lone Star State, business.
Well, it's almost our business to go to break here in just a few seconds.
Well, then let's do it early. We'll give Frank a break and we'll start the commercials 2 seconds early. Frank, have at it. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's an article
Before you go, I just want to do this real quick. There was a poll. This is on Breitbart. There was a political poll, and it reveals voters believe America has spun off its axis and is out of control. 64%.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we're not in a minority when we talk about the problems we're talking about on this program. The only thing that makes us a minority, or seems to be a minority opinion, or some people would even say some sort of a radical or crackpot opinion, what allows people to have that notion is the fact that these ideas aren't generally expressed on mainstream media. Mainstream media is telling us, don't worry, be happy. Huh? That's what we get out of them. No problem. Everything's under control. The good guys are in Congress and the White House and the rest of that. And we're sitting back and saying, no, they're not. They're destroying this nation. These people are not acting as your representatives. They are acting as your adversaries and arguably your enemies. They are for sale to the highest bidder, and that's not you, and it's not me, and it's not Melody. But they are for sale. And the fact that they're for sale is dangerous to all of us. It's dangerous to this nation. There are forces at work that want to take this nation down. And it's going to happen unless we begin to recognize the problems we're facing, identify the people that are responsible, and get them out. And it's not just Democrats. It's not just Republicans. It's virtually everybody up there is for sale to the highest bidder. Or if they're not personally for sale, they still don't want to rock the boat by calling the rest of the gangsters a bunch of treasonous whores.
And what
they'll say, well, I'm one of the good guys. I am not taking any money myself, but I'm not saying anything about it either. Bunk. You want to be one of the good guys? Stand up, speak out.
And this poll was surveyed in states and districts in which the most competitive congressional races, that had the most congressional races. So 64% is a big number. So anyway, now let's talk about the good news and the bad news. We have to talk about Ebola today.
Yeah, I know. World, a day without Ebola is like a day without what? I don't know. Not exactly sunshine, but we've got good news and we've got bad news on Ebola. Good news number one. According to Reuters, Nigeria has declared Ebola-free. holds lessons for others. They haven't seen any Ebola cases in Nigeria for 42 days. It's been declared Ebola-free, according to someone speaking on behalf of World Health Organization. This is a spectacular success story. It shows that Ebola can be contained.
But what did they
must
do?
Must also be clear that we have only won a battle. The war will only end when West Africa, not just Nigeria, but all of West Africa, is also declared free of Ebola. Well, that's going to be interesting, all right? I mean, this disease has been around since the 1970s, first reported in the 1970s. We haven't cleared it out in 40 years. What's the chance that we've cleared it? We haven't cleared it out in the last 40 years. What's the chance we're going to get it in the next 40? You know, okay, this is a success story. One nation, for the moment at least, is declared Ebola-free. Here's another good news. Dozens declared free of Ebola risk in Texas. This is from the New York Times. At least one chapter of the Ebola saga near to close on Sunday, as most of the dozens of people who had direct or indirect contact here with Thomas Eric Duncan, he was the first guy coming in here from Liberia, he had Ebola. We're concerned, oh my gosh, something's, you know, it's going to spread all over. But of all of the people who had contact with him, at least most of them have been declared Ebola-free. All right? And they were no longer at risk of contracting the disease. It allegedly, if you get it, there's a 21-day incubation period. If you don't see symptoms within, if you're exposed to it, there's a 21-day incubation period. And if you don't show up with symptoms in 21 days, then you didn't get it.
Right? Well, I have a question.
Yep.
How? You have two nurses who I don't care what they say, most likely took precautions.
Yes.
They had protocols.
Yep.
When they were treating the patient. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot if you didn't. How did they contract the disease, but yet people living in the same apartment? And how many people to an apartment with a guy who is obviously having problems? How can they be clean? How can they not contract the disease? So, are we being told the truth?
Well, we're...
is my question.
I don't even know if anyone knows the truth, but I wouldn't... we're getting told the truth by government?
And particularly the New York Times?
Is this a trick question or what? Are we being told the truth
so,
by government? I wouldn't believe the government if they told me it was daytime right now. You understand? I'd still want to look out the window and say, well, they say it's daytime. I'm going to look out the window and see, because I don't believe the government anything they say. And I don't want to sound overly cynical about that, but the truth of the matter is we are routinely lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do we know whether we're getting the truth?
I don't have
an answer for the question, but one of the things, here's another, this is one of the bad news stories that follows on what you're saying. This is from something called the National Report, which appears to be a credible source, but I don't know if this is true or false. They claim, here's the report, this is from the National Report. Texas town quarantined after family of five test positive for the Ebola virus. I don't know if this is some sort of a hoax. It appears to be a credible publication, but this is hard to believe. Small town of Perdon, Texas has been quarantined. There's 133 people living in this little town. It's been quarantined after a family of five tested positive for the Ebola virus. This is extraordinarily hard to believe. It looks like a credible report, but it may be just a hoax. This town is located 70 miles from Dallas. It's been verified that Jack Phillips returned from Dallas last week while on business. Shortly after arriving home, Mr. Phillips began exhibiting flu-like symptoms, didn't go to the hospital immediately. Next thing we know, the doctors then learned that Phillips, his wife, and three children had contracted Ebola. Now, I'm not going to tell you this is a true story. I'm only saying that it appears to be true, appears to be credible. I suspect, I don't have a great deal of confidence in this, but the point is, no one knows. Assuming the story is true, And I don't know that it is. But assuming the story was true, the man he had no direct contact with the guy, Duncan. He had no direct or indirect contact, but presumably, if the story is true, no one knows how he contracted Ebola. And while Melody's talking about, we got two nurses in hazmat suits who've contracted Ebola, but we have half a dozen people or four or five or however many living in an apartment with the first guy to bring Ebola into this country. They didn't get it. Two nurses in hazmat suits did get it. Allegedly, this guy from Purdon, Texas, he got it. And again, I'm very skeptical about this report. But this is part of the, this is, we had a couple of good news stories on Ebola. They knocked it out in Nigeria. Most of the people who've been associated with the first guy got through the 21-day period. They've showed no symptoms. They're declared Ebola-free. That's good news and good news, but this is bad news if it's true. The whole family has come down with this disease, and nobody even knows how the father got it, picked it up in Dallas. Here's another one, good news number three. This is from President Obama. On his radio report on Saturday, President Obama urged against hysteria or fear in the face of growing Ebola crisis. This is a serious disease, but we can't give in to hysteria or fear because that only makes it harder to get people the accurate information they need. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, we're getting accurate information now. Is that what we're getting? Tell me about it. That's something we're all looking for. We have to be guided by the science, Obama said in his weekly address to the nation. We have to remember the basic facts, Obama said Saturday. The United States, where a libertarian man died from Ebola on October 8th, and two American nurses who treated him tested positive, was not seeing an outbreak or epidemic, Obama stressed. More isolated cases in the country were possible, he conceded, but we know how to wage this fight. All right, so good news. Government says we got this under control. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay, that's from President Obama himself. Here's the bad news. Obama seeks more funds. This is from Reuters. Obama to seek more funds to fight Ebola. President Barack Obama is preparing to ask Congress for additional funding to fight the Ebola virus. Both officials, according to two officials, White House and congressional officials. The officials declined to say how much additional funding Obama would seek. The government now has more than $1 billion available to fight the spread of Ebola. All right? And they need more money. Now, what do you make of that? You know, it's one of these things, if it's true that the U.S. already has $1 billion to fight Ebola, and if it's true, as President Obama said, that we now know we know how to fight the disease. And I wonder why we may need even more money to fight Ebola. There may be good and valid reasons for that. But is it possible $1 billion is simply not enough to deal with even a small disease problem? Or was Obama lying when he said not to panic? Is the problem so big and growing so fast that we'll need lots more money to contain it? If Obama asks for another $1 billion, the problem may still be fairly small. If Obama asks for another $10 billion, the problem may be large and dangerous. So, we have some good news. We have some bad news. And thank goodness we still have Dancing with the Stars. So, don't worry. Be happy. All right, are you happy, Melody?
I'm always happy.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm happy because we have Bill from Ohio calling.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Hi. What you got for us?
I heard your stories. They sound scary. I'm just thinking that it sounds like GMO'd bubonic plague that historically became respiratory infectious later on, mutated. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
They talk about Ebola mutating. There are mutations in Ebola, and I don't doubt that that story is true. But one thing about mutations is this. Some mutations are for the worse and some are for the better. Just because the disease is mutating doesn't mean it's necessarily mutating for the worse. It means some strains may become less contagious. They may mutate into something that becomes relatively harmless. So I don't know that mutation is by itself. Some of them may be far more contagious. But here we sit, you know, wondering what's the truth of the matter. What do you think the truth of the matter is?
It's been designed, and if this doesn't work, they'll try something worse.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. And one of the other problems, you know, even if it weren't designed, and we know that Ebola, or at least one strain of Ebola, has been patented by the Center for Disease Control. Now, that all by itself is just so bizarre. That probably means because they patented the disease, they probably get a patent on whatever drugs are used to fight that disease. But there is something so bizarre about patenting a disease, claiming a patent on a strain of the disease that might kill a bunch of people. It's strange. And there may be valid reasons for it, but it is still so strange, it can't help but look at it and say, this thing's been created, right? You know, the idea behind patents and copyrights is that the creator of whatever substance or product or book or radio program, if you're the creator behind it, you get the copyright on it. You get the patent on it by virtue of inventing. And the idea that you could claim copyright on a disease that seemingly has the potential to cause terrible havoc on the earth, I mean, it just raises questions that, who knows, you're going to have to find Solomon. Get Solomon. Let him do a radio program, and maybe he can answer those questions or implications. It's something that's bizarre. What do you think about the patents and copyrights, Bill?
That's patents. Disturbing. And
patents.
Disturbing. Yeah. Thank you for the update, but it's very disturbing. And it's been known historically they did this stuff. I think they did spraying in San Francisco back in the early 1900s. Yeah. They've done a lot of stuff from New Jersey, or is it that island off of Long Island?
They did something. There was, I had a report, a Senate report on this. I don't have it anymore. I had it back in the 1990s. Senate report, I'm sure it can be found. I can't even remember the name of it. But they talked about the government was intentionally using Americans as guinea pigs without their knowledge to test some of their biological weapons. And they released some sort of a disease off the coast of maybe California, maybe Oregon, I don't remember. But you can still find traces. They generated as an aerosol in the ocean, and it washed ashore, and then they calculated how many people caught the disease to see how effective it was. And allegedly, in that report, 10, 20 years after the fact, there were still traces. An unusual concentration of that disease was still present in that vicinity of the United States. They reported that they released some disease in one of the tunnels, maybe the Holland Tunnel, I don't recall, going into New York City, see what kind of reaction they had. They're willing to test these damn diseases on the American people. You know, we hear about what they've done to blacks at, they gave them syphilis at, what was it, one of the universities down south, if I recall correctly. One of the institutions, in any case, in the southern state.
Tuskegee,
that's right. Yes, that's right. And they did it to blacks. Yeah, they did it to blacks. You know, nobody. They're doing it to everybody. They don't care if you're black, white, or anything else. We just don't hear about it when they do it to us. And now we have to wonder, what's really going on with this Ebola? You know, what is really going on?
Follow the money. Follow the money trail.
And the big problem is that the world is increasingly populated, and the world is increasingly confined to urban environments. And we're living cheek and jowl. We're so close to everybody that regardless of what happens with Ebola, it's a virtual certainty that the day is coming when a disease that has not been yet named or patented is going to break loose in populations that are highly concentrated. And when they do, big trouble for all of us. Haven't been paying the clock, attention to the clock. I'm sorry we've run too long, folks. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred, here with Melody. See you manana. In the meantime, good Lord bless each and every one of you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer, and Phil. Bye-bye.
Still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my